Welcome to Dry Hard Pod, a weekly podcast on navigating life as a dry millennial.
Hi, I'm Kaylee, and I have been alcohol-free for 435 days.
Damn. Good job.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm Katie, and I've been alcohol-free for 11 months and 11 days. I'm going to say this right now. If you listened to our last episode, I misnamed what angel numbers were.
Oh.
But this week, I in fact have an angel number, 1111.
I think we started last episode, but we are now wanting to spend a little bit of time before we get into the meat of it to give some booze-free shout-outs. So, Katie, do you want to read our first booze-free shout-out?
First up, we've got Lo. She is 30 days without booze.
Yes.
Lo without Pinot, which is so fucking clever. That's her handle. So it's at Lo without Pinot on Instagram. You're fucking funny. We like you.
I love that. And that's so exciting because after that 30-day mark, I think I mentioned that that was the hardest for me. But also that's when you start seeing more of like the tangential benefits of quitting alcohol. Like your skin starts getting better. You know, you start getting better sleep, all of that stuff. So that's a really exciting time to be. So congrats.
I just have to say a little sidebar here. I am pretty smart, but Kaylee uses the biggest fucking most beautiful words. And sometimes I'm like, tangential? What the fuck does that mean?
Guess what? I don't fucking know, and I might be using the word totally wrong.
Yeah, so who's next, Kaylee?
Okay. I'm like, I want to do this one. So Chelsea, who's also from the Pacific Northwest, just celebrated 3 months, which is so awesome. We've known Chelsea for a long time and just really cool to have her like join the sober crew.
Also, I don't know where Lo Without Pinot is from, but if you do leave us your sober day streak, let us know where you're from. We would love to see who is listening and where from. So
definitely. So yeah, Chelsea's from the Pacific Northwest.
And Lo, we don't know.
Lo, we don't know. But Lo without Pino.
Lo without Pino. Okay. How are you feeling, Kaylee?
Well, I'm reading our show notes that just says feeling like shit. So I must have been having not a great day 3 days ago when we put this together.
I think that was me.
I love that it could be either one of us.
At any given moment.
Yeah. I'm feeling good. I'm definitely feeling really low energy. And I think, especially with the weather, that's totally a thing. And I know that this...
Oh, yeah.
There's like that Swedish hygge, however you say that, that's all about like just being cozy in the wintertime and making soups and like wearing warm, soft clothes. And I think I want to read more into that because I've been really beating myself up for not feeling as like physically productive as I usually am. Although I am working out more than I ever have in my life. So,
But once again, we fucking hate ourselves. So here we are.
Yeah, 100%.
You're like, I'm more physically active than I ever have been, but I'm a piece of shit because I haven't been cleaning my house every day also.
Exactly. That's exactly how I'm feeling right now.
Mm-hmm. I know. I feel that. Yeah, I'm feeling tired. It's been pretty back to back to back over here, but it's a part of a season that my family's going through. And on the other side of it, there's so much relaxing. I am here for it.
I'm excited. I also love how you put it's a season that we're going through because it immediately, like, you know, the words and all of that stuff connects to, you know, your thoughts and your feelings are super interconnected, and saying a season indicates maybe like subconsciously that it's not forever, that like this feeling isn't forever. So I love that you use that word to describe it.
Thanks. Yeah, I pulled it out of my ass, but I'm glad that I used it too, because I'm going to start saying that all the time because it's true. I sometimes get like doomsday and I think, you know, I've had a hard week, and then the next week seems hard, and then the next week, when, you know, it does too. And much like sobriety, or like things in sobriety, they get better faster when I'm not drinking. And so I need to remember that instead of like sabotaging my next set of days, you know, by not sticking with my boundaries or, you know, just prioritizing the things that are most important to me.
Speaking of sabotaging, this week we are talking about holidays and spending. And we knew this was going to be a topic we wanted to cover because we have both been feeling a lot of things and trying to figure out how to navigate this area.
Oh, also, it's funny they're talking about money because I spent $350 at Target today.
Like, I woke up deciding that I wasn't going to give a fuck about how much money I spent today.
Wait, so Kaylee, does that mean that between the time we wrote out our content and our outline and today, we failed at our own fucking goal for the holidays and finances?
Yes, 100%. But I'm also... part of it's procrastination, 100%. I don't want to look at my budget right now. But I'm waiting until I figure out, like, what my new paycheck situation is going to look like. So I'm just fucking it all until...
I'm fucking it all.
Yeah, I'm fucking... It's.
I love it.
I do that all the time with shit, though. I'll be like, okay, I'm going to quit vaping in January. So until then, I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to, like, have that be a stress that I, you know, weigh myself down with. But sometimes I'm a little too, like... I don't know. I go ham in other areas of my life, just like I did with alcohol.
Kaylee, how do you celebrate Christmas Day while you were drinking and then now? Just like a short thing. And also, we live for your stories. So if you have a drunk Christmas story, I'm here for it.
Oh, yeah. Please submit your drunk Christmas stories if you're comfortable. We can totally leave you anonymous, but we would love to commiserate with you on those. Christmases were pretty... mellow for me. They're usually a grandma and grandpa's house and in the morning, and my grandparents actually do like a scavenger hunt for me for my presents.
Shut the fuck up, that's so cute.
Yeah, they like hide the presents throughout the house and make like little clues, and the first clue always starts on the tree. But
so cute.
They're overdoing it, like they don't want to do it anymore. And I kept asking for it. And I'm 31 and I make my grandparents hide clues for me throughout their house.
I couldn't love you any more than I do right now. I mean, I'm mildly concerned, but it's fine. It's fine. You're the best.
They're the best. They're so much fun. They indulge me. But usually like that week, I would hit a ton of people up, especially because I didn't want to spend a bunch of time at my dad's house. You know, in my early 20s, when I was drinking really heavily, we had to move out of our childhood home. My dad got an apartment. Actually, like someone broke into his storage unit and they stole a lot of our family memorabilia and all of his Christmas decorations. And so it was kind of a bleak time.
That's sad. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was the my dad's apartment phase was definitely pretty rough. And so I would just have friends pick me up, or I would be like, cool, okay, we did the thing with grandma and grandpa, dad, like, I'm gonna bail and go get wasted. So it was a lot of like visiting the places that all of the ghosts of my past are there, because it's Christmas holiday and everyone's there with, you know, visiting their families. So it was, the actual Christmas part of it wasn't very memorable. But because of that, because Christmas just kind of felt sad, a hard time for me to navigate, I drowned that out with like drop shots from John Henry's. So
fuck. The thing I love most about that statement is John Henry's closed down probably 8 years ago, but the bars that have opened, I swear, have never like actually mopped the floor and like the stuck. At that bar. And so when you walk in there, your feet still stick the same way. Oof. But it's been a very long time since I've set foot in there. So maybe it's changed. I feel like in my early 20s, Christmas was pretty lonely. My mom lived in Michigan and I was out here, and my dad hadn't gotten clean yet. And my grandma was dying. So I have like three Christmases that are pretty like you said, bleak. Yeah. Like, just like, what do I do? And I was in like a shitty relationship. And I'll never forget when Mitch and I lived together. She had a boyfriend at the time and they were taking shots of tequila and eating tamales. And I like took a couple shots of tequila and then took a tamale and left and went to Black Forest and drank all day on Christmas Day. And yeah, it was just not the best time for me.
I'm so sorry that I'm laughing, Katie, but I love that idea of you like grabbing a taquito on your way out. Like, I have to at least,
yeah,
like...
It was foil wrapped and yeah, I took it with me to go. It was only like a 3-block walk from my apartment, but anyways, and then after that, when once Steve and I became established, it got a lot better. And even after my dad got cleaned up a little bit and I just became more like oriented to be around my family. And Christmas was good. Steve's birthday is right before Christmas. He's the 22nd. I really just remember like a lot of hangovers, not because I was going ham the day before, but because like Christmas Eve, you go to a bunch of people's houses, you open up gifts, you see family. So you're like, glass of wine here, a glass of wine here, a glass of wine here. And so the next day, just like, meh. And I remember last year, my dad and his wife stopped by when we were opening our presents. And she brought me a fucking like half empty eggnog liqueur.
Oh no.
And it was in like a plastic half gallon bottle. And I like pretended like I didn't want it. I was like, oh, because she like grabbed it as a joke. It was like at a Christmas party that she had cleaned up after the night before, you know, some shit like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe she liked it. But and I like put it on the floor and was like, huh? And then fucking chugged it that day. And I felt like shit. It was terrible.
That's rough.
And then I quit drinking 5 days after that, though.
Oh, yes. Probably.
That was my most recent one.
It's probably a catalyst. Like, I cannot imagine the hangover off of eggnog.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't, like, I don't even think you could get drunk off of it. For me, I was just like, it was like syrup. But anyways, I'm not talking about the fucking eggnog anymore. This year, we're doing things different. Right, Kaylee?
Yeah. Katie's house is so decorated and cute, and it's been cool seeing you have your own traditions now that you do with your own little family.
I know. It's great. And this year, my little sister, who is 14, she's flying out her first solo flight from Michigan, and she's staying with me for 10 days. And so she'll be with us for Christmas this year. That was what she wanted for her birthday.
I just think that's so cute that for her birthday, she wanted to like come visit her like cool older sister who lives in Eugene, you know? I love that.
Yeah. And it's like, I told her like, dude, it's raining sideways. It's like 38 degrees and like the worst fucking weather. And she's like, I don't care as long as we like go ice skating and do some Christmas things. I'm like, okay, cool.
Aw, that's so cute. Okay.
Yeah.
So I know you have family in town, and you know, you're married, so you have the whole two families to visit and then siblings and, you know, your dad now and folks as well. So how does Christmas and those sort of events that happen around this time trigger behaviors that you've been trying to work on now that you're sober?
Oh, it's all coming up. I'm like journaling more than I ever have in my whole life and trying to be like, okay, is this my feeling or is this someone else's feeling, you know? But I really struggle with perfectionism, right? Mm-hmm. I want everything to be perfect. I want to be able to say yes to everybody and come through and like make sure everyone has a good time. I think that that's part of like part of my personality, I will say, just naturally. But then on top of that, that like shame, you know, meets perfectionism, meets expectations, definitely weighs heavy on me this time of year. And this is my first sober Christmas.
Yeah.
And so I'm really just trying to like figure that out. But yeah, man, I spend a lot of money when I'm having problems. So this time of year is especially difficult for that. And it's something I've been working on, you know, through sobriety. I paid off debt. My credit score was like a 530, when I quit drinking, and it's a 780 right now.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it's been something I've really worked on, and not spending frivolously, and like looking at our checking account every month and really trying to, you know, identify when I am doing things that are outside of my budget and why, and like get to the root of that part of budgeting, not as much like the science, or I should say math around finances, but more so just like the feelings around finances.
Yeah, that's so smart, because I feel like you can't really set a budget and you can crunch the numbers, but it's really hard to change that behavior to adhere to that budget if you're not
that.
Yeah, if you're not tackling the feelings around why you're spending that money. And I do it all the time when I feel really insecure. I will drop a ton of money at Sephora or like buying clothes online, and I'll feel so much better that I'm like, okay, like I'm getting closer and closer to this vision of myself and who I am, but it's all so surface level.
Yeah. And I need a little bit more of that. So definitely my spending is for other people.
See, I need more of that because I just buy shit for myself.
Yeah. Well, and it's so funny, right? Because we all like have to, there's two ends of this meter, right? There's like you buying for yourself, me buying for everyone else. We both need to turn our knobs to be in the middle, because we both deserve things, and we other people do, but like we have to have a better balance with it. You can't see my hands, everyone, but Kaylee can, and I'm literally doing a meter.
Yeah, she's doing a great hand gesture visual.
Yeah, so I think that's important, because I'll spend money on other people and like shit that we don't need, right? Like we're really working on slowing down our purchasing. You know, we canceled our Amazon membership a year ago. We've not fucking used it. We have really been trying to like, we're not always shopping local, don't get me. We're like, we go to Best Buy, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? But we're really trying to just be more conscious. And I'm not good about taking care of my spaces. And like, I didn't really know or have a relationship with my authentic self before quitting drinking. And so I didn't really know what I liked. And so I was always just kind of mirroring what other people liked. And so now that I'm learning that a little bit more, I'm trying to spend more money on the things that represent who I am. But, you know, when unhealthy Katie takes over, I slip right back into those old habits. Like today, Kaylee, I went to Target.
Uh-oh. Famous last words. And,
yeah. And I bought stocking stuffers that were just bullshit garbage. And that's the stuff I'm trying not to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah.
I did the same thing. I have been feeling like I've been really excited by my routine, but especially with the weather and the holidays coming up, and I don't know, it's just been harder to want to leave the house for sure. And there's not as many opportunities to. So we, Danny and I went to a craft fair sort of thing, and I came in with the intention of like, great, I'm going to get all my holiday presents taken care of. I'm just going to, you know, whatever. I'm not going to set a budget for myself. I'm just going to have a good time. And in order to have a good time and feel something, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want with my money.
Right.
So
yeah. Or to feel nothing, rather.
Yeah. And then we come home 2 hours later, like probably $250 gone, and not a whole lot to show for it in terms of gifts for other folks that I still need to come up with here pretty soon. So yeah, I feel like holidays and spending, whether it's gifts or for yourself to make yourself feel better, just go hand in hand, and can definitely be something we use as a separate mechanism instead of alcohol. So like leaning on it more heavy, totally. If that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. And I can see the signs from a mile away for me, because I'm like being drawn to buying things that will be in a landfill a year from now for someone who doesn't need it, right?
Yeah.
Like, personally, and we always do this, Steve and I, we always have this plan. He's like, okay, we're going to get this one thing for our daughter. And I'm like, yeah, just one thing. He's like, one thing, right? I'm like, yes, just the one thing for like a month. And then 3 days before Christmas, I rush out the door and I buy as much garbage trash as I can shove in her stocking, and like socks and trinkets and hot chocolates and fucking face masks and, you know, like all this stuff. And my mom did that for us when we were kids.
Yeah, my stepmom did too.
Yeah, and I really liked a lot of it, but I wasn't really raised to take good care of my things, and we're trying to kind of come at that from a different approach. And not that it's bad that anyone wants to do that, because like I said, I fucking do it, man. So, yeah. And then I literally put in these notes. And then I scramble 3 days before trying to buy all the wasteful shit I always do. And then it says, you guys, right here, not this year, bitches. That did not happen. I did it anyways. I just did it with more time between now and Christmas Day than I normally do. Which is also not a good sign.
Well, honestly, I mean, I don't know. I toggle back and forth between, like, should I be harder on myself or should I give myself grace in this moment? And I've definitely been leaning more towards the grace side of things. So I have been getting high a lot. Christmas definitely, like, triggers my ability to stay sober. So.
Yeah. Dude, I feel that, and I definitely feel like that money thing for me, the spending thing, is coming through hot. And then also going back on all the boundaries that I've set with my family during this time.
Yeah.
It's hard to uphold, you know? 'Tis the season for everyone's shit show-ness to come out and fuck up your daily routine and plans, you know? So, yeah, I'm working on that.
Yeah. 100%. I'm kind of already thinking about spending some more time in Eugene than we originally planned, just because I feel guilty for how the original boundary I set, which was to only do Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So
I feel like 2 days is fair. I feel like that's fair.
Yeah.
But what? Wait. What days are you going to be down?
Christmas Eve. So I want to drive down earlier on Christmas Eve so that we're spending kind of like a whole day at Grandma and Grandpa's instead of just dinner, because then we're turning around and we're leaving after breakfast on Christmas morning. So it's really not even like one full day. And I do have someone else that I have to convince because Danny's coming with me, but I don't know. I don't get to see them very often, and I don't know if it's necessarily going back on a boundary I set, but I did put that in place to kind of just protect my energy and my time.
But the good thing is you get to decide if that's how you feel that day or not. You know what I mean? You could go sooner, like you were saying, if it feels good.
Yeah, that's a good point. Boundaries don't have to be set in stone. They can flex depending on...
Yeah, your energy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, and my grandma, she makes these Santa's Snickers cookies where it's like a mini Snickers bar cooked inside of a sugar cookie, and she'll put them in the microwave for like 10 seconds and they're so fucking good.
Can you fucking not tell me about that right now? That sounds so good.
They're so good. I'll bring some over to your house. They're amazing. She always makes a ton and sends me home with like this little Christmas tin. So...
So cute. I actually am going to be driving to Portland on Christmas Day.
Oh, to pick up your sister?
To drop her off at the airport. She flies out on Christmas Day.
Oh, damn. She's like, let me pick the most expensive plane ticket I possibly...
I think my mom did. She wanted her to fly direct because she's only 14, and that was like the only direct flight she could get. So
yeah, that's nice though. Like, especially her first time flying by herself, just kind of make it easy on her. I have been, Katie, this is a little off topic, but I feel like I've been visited by, like, remember A Christmas Carol, or like a Muppets Christmas Carol when they do like the Ghosts of Christmas Past and Future. I have been having drinking nightmares every night for the...
Still?
Yes, still.
No, that's not good.
I know. And so I need to do some work and, but just starting to think about like 2022 goals already and really wanting to make meditation part of my practice, because I've seen how much you've benefited from it. And I'm also just in a space where I'm looking for some more like guidance in a lot of areas. And I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on trying to figure out like the root of why I'm having these dreams. So yeah, more to come on that.
So my 1 year sobriety birthday is New Year's Day.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And it's funny. It's interesting because I chose January 1st to quit, which is almost like proven to be one of the least likely days to carry out your resolutions.
Yeah.
from all the other days of the year.
Totally. That makes sense.
And I did it.
Yeah. Oh, you're so proud of yourself. Fuck yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And like just like seeing to believe that I can make a change with a drop of a dime like that. And that any practice I want to put in place, any new habit, I know it's not as easy as that, but once you've done it, it can be easy as that for your brain to remember. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned that.
Yeah, because like people can be nicer to themselves. We don't have to be. I see these memes that are like, don't fucking make changes on New Year's Day, blah, 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 you know, like all this stuff. And I'm like, actually, no, you can. It's okay. Be nice to yourself. You might not get it the first time, but like you can literally try as many times as you want. It's practice.
Yeah, that's so true.
So fuck off, everyone.
Yeah. Well, whether or not you like fuck up on January 2nd or, you know, whatever, you still obviously like set that as your New Year's resolution or, you know, your goal for a new year because it was important to you or, you know, you wanted to get it done. So yeah, you just like pick yourself back up and be like, okay, cool. I think what's hard is it's really easy to kind of get into that fuck it mentality. And then you set another milestone for, you know, 6 months away. And then you set another one for the next new year. And that was what was happening to me with quitting alcohol, where I had, you know, kind of put some intentions around that since like 2013 and would keep putting it off because of certain events or, oh, you know, I'm going to Mexico. So that would be inconvenient. So definitely don't wait for the perfect time. If the perfect time for you is New Year's Day, like mine was October 3rd for some reason. And I literally can't tell you why. But yeah, just aww, do it when it feels right for you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So right now I'm doing the manifestation challenge. And it's interesting that this particular group starts this time of year so that you are manifesting and like what you're calling in the new year. So it's a crazy reminder that also applies that like everything you're trying and working up to doing, like you can set the intention far before the day you actually do it.
Yeah, for sure. I've been doing that with I've been doing that with a new salary that I'm wanting to make. I just have it already in my head that I make that amount of money and I'm
and you're just spending that.
I am. And maybe I'm like faking it till I make it a little too much on the old on the credit card situation.
What the woo would say is that you're clearing out the space so that more money can be called in.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't take that advice. We did not give you that advice. And I think the advice actually says, if you have any debt, do not take this advice. But if you do not have debt, spend and then more money will come to you.
Yeah, that's good. I still feel shitty about the amount of money that I've spent recently. But that's okay.
I feel that.
So what are things, you know, obviously there's some things that we're kind of manifesting and looking forward to for the new year and some stuff that we're currently working on, like spending yeah. during the holidays that we're both kind of having a hard time with still. So what are some tips and tricks that like what can we do differently to try and really get this one to stick? Because it's definitely been a hard one for both of us.
Yeah, we as a household are doing some things this year, which is interesting, to focus on our finances. That's like a huge thing that we have been talking about, even though I'm failing at it right now today. But that doesn't mean that I can't try again tomorrow.
Good attitude.
You know, get that shit back together. But when I'm not operating at my highest level, right, like that's just going to happen sometimes and that's okay.
Yeah. There's only so much you can do.
Exactly. So yeah, so Steve and I are not eating out in the month of December.
Nice.
Like at all. We haven't at all. And today is the 12th, which is really good for we don't eat out a lot, but at least once a week, and we haven't at all in 12 days. And so that feels really good. And I haven't bought a coffee. I'm only making it at home. And that's a really big one for me, just in general. It's just such a time and money saver that there's no reason I should be doing it every day. And it's easy to get in that habit when you have a 45-minute commute.
Oh, for sure, especially when you have a commute. So I know that when I was over at your house last time, you made me a fucking awesome cup of coffee with like this really cool heated like milk frother thing. So like what are some tools you know, whether it's like meal prep or like things that help you stick to those goals?
Yeah. So when I wanted to start making coffee at home, I had been following this girl on Instagram who was always, oh, we've talked about her before, at The Magic Is in the Middle.
Oh, yeah.
Every day she posts like her iced coffee that she makes and then the like cold foam she's pouring over the top of it. And I was like, damn, I want some of that. You know, that looks good. And so I was talking to my mom about it and she was like, oh, can I buy you a frother for your birthday? And I was like, yeah. And we got it and it works with my alternative milk, which is fantastic. And it was $50. So I think $50 is probably how much genuinely that I would have spent in a month of coffee.
Oh, buying yeah. out. Oh, yeah. 5 days easily. A week on the way to work every yeah. day. Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, let's say like $50 every 2 weeks, probably.
Yeah.
You throw Iris getting something in here and there and it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So anyways, we did that. And then, yeah, for not eating out, Steve and I are not even really meal prepping. Actually, we're doing the opposite. We are cooking our meals at home and we're not eating leftovers because sometimes when I meal prep too hardcore, I don't want to eat my leftovers and I eat out or I eat out of convenience.
Yes, I'm the same way. There's very few, unless it's like spaghetti dude or something that's like almost better the next day, you know?
Yeah, which are, pizza, spaghetti. Yeah.
Yeah, Italian food or Chinese food only.
Right.
I have a really hard time. The condensation gets in the Tupperware and starts making my veg look all soggy and weird. Like, I just don't trust things that have been, I don't know, I have some weird like Tupperware trauma. But yeah, I'm the same. So I love that there's, because meal prepping, it just seems like such a big thing that you know, kind of have to do if you want to have your shit together, mm-hmm. at least based on Instagram and TikTok. Well, so
yeah. And like for Steve, he does need to meal prep because he's so used to it and it's he vibes with it. But for me, I can't. I have actually even just been easier on myself. And if I need it, I like throw a Sweet Earth, you know, vegetarian burrito in the, we don't have a microwave, but we have a toaster oven. And, you know, eating just like sometimes it's processed food, but it's food that's accessible to me. Like I'll have rice and I'll have teriyaki tofu and some broccoli. Like I just try to keep it simple, make sure that I can throw it together quickly and I'm keeping enough food in my body all day. So that has helped us a lot. I'm also just journaling like crazy, especially when I'm around people or have conversations with my family that don't go the way that I had rehearsed them in my head.
Do you feel like journaling helps like process your feelings, or is it more like getting it all out and then feeling relieved that you like spilled it all on the paper?
How do you feel?
Well, I feel like I have not journaled in a really long time, but every time I did used to journal, I was fucking drunk. And I would only journal when I was upset, and you could like tell by my handwriting that I would get like wasted over the course of like writing in my journal. And so I don't think I was able to really get to the part where I was processing and I was helping. I was just kind of venting. I was using it as like a way to get out my negative emotions, but I was also using, you know, booze and like smoking an entire pack of cigarettes and, you know, whatever.
Totally. Totally. But you were doing something. I mean, that's more productive than smashing the wine bottles when you're done on the sidewalk. So like fucking more power to you, dude. Like I was doing like destructive shit after I would be drinking. So I'm so glad. Also, Kaylee, I believe that a journaling episode is on our content planner. So
yes,
that's going to be a good one.
Okay. So we'll get into that. We'll get into more of that.
Yeah. So I won't go too deep, but I think it's both for me and it's a new practice for me. It's not something I've always done. So, but yeah, Reframe will also be coming in hot this season for me. Already people in the forum are just writing like, what the fuck do I do? You guys, this is hard. I've been sober for 3 days and I have to be around my stepdad and my mom and my three little brothers and my ex-girlfriend and, you know,
oh,
like,
God, yeah.
So, you know, and then there's even people on there who are commenting, you know, they're in their 60s who are like, I can't be around my family this holiday season. They don't want to be around me. I'm like the family drunk and I don't know what to do. Like, does anyone have any advice, you know?
Ugh.
So it's just like the whole array. Or my favorite, you know, character on Reframe, which is like so cool that there's a space for someone like this, is like the frat guy who's like, oh, I only want to have 5 drinks on Saturday. I don't want to have 12. Like, what can you recommend? And yeah, it's kind of cool, you know, just to listen to other people's experiences and what they're going through and how it's affecting their sobriety. And just like being able to collect from a sea of people and what they have to say about it is great.
Yeah. I love that there's a community for that. And
totally.
Like, recognizing that everyone's goals are not going to be the same. Like, not all people are going to come through and be like, I want to quit drinking entirely on, you know, 1/1/2022. And like,
yeah. Yeah.
Ugh.
Totally. So yeah, I'll be using Reframe a lot. They have this, part of their daily tasks is like a short meditation. And that's kind of how I got into meditation. I don't know if I said that before, but I was definitely the kind of person that was like, that's not for me. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. They were like 9 minutes. And I thought that was a good, like, easy first step into it. But yeah, I decided I'm still going to wash my face this holiday season every night. And I just finished Ted Lasso, which I'm sad about. So whoever out there has a good recommendation for the next show I binge watch, please let me know. Yeah. So we're just going to lean into our non-negotiables, I think, over here.
That sounds great. I'm definitely doing some things that do cost a little bit of money, but they are, you know, not kind of the frivolous things to make myself feel better, like getting a new lipstick, which I still love to do. No shame on that. But we are spending some money to stay at an Airbnb when Danny and I come to dinner on Christmas Eve, because my dad, you know, lives in a different apartment now that's a little bit bigger, but still not really a lot of space for us. There's like not a place for us to crash besides the couch. And then my grandparents have a wonderful guest room, but they go to bed at like 8 p.m. and Danny stays up until 3, and you know, he might want to go out afterwards and hang out with his friends. And just being downtown instead of all the way out in the country, you know, made sense for us. And so I really don't feel guilty or bad about spending that money at all. I think it's a smart move. So
I think that's a great way to set a boundary for yourself too.
Yeah. Yeah. And was definitely concerned about it hurting people's feelings. Like, I didn't kind of outright tell my grandparents that I got an Airbnb because I didn't want them to think like, why would you choose to spend $200 for like one night instead of just like staying with us? And I think they would understand if I explained it just like I did here and be honest.
Aw, I love that. That's so sweet. It's true.
Yeah. So I'll kind of see how that goes. And then if giving them that news, I don't know, they don't totally freak out. Or maybe even if they do, then we'll still do it if it ends up being a good thing. This is kind of the first time we're doing this. And then we are coming home on Christmas Day. Because last year, I really kind of loved COVID Christmas. I loved being in my pajamas. I know it makes me sound like an asshole in so many ways, but like...
No, it's not. I also loved it. And we've been having COVID Christmas days like that for forever here.
Yeah. Just being able to totally like stay in, eat a bunch of leftovers, watch TV, chill, not have anything on the agenda for the whole day and just spend time with each other was super cool. Because Danny and I are both really busy.
Yeah.
And can be like two ships passing in the night sometimes. So it's always awesome to get to spend that time together. And I still want that. So I'm trying to do half and half and be like, yeah, we'll do an Airbnb. We'll see you Christmas Eve. We'll see you Christmas breakfast. But Christmas Day, like, you know, we want to head home so we can chill.
Yeah, I love that.
Setting some boundaries a little bit, little baby boundaries.
Little beep micro boundaries.
Micro boundaries.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we have done that the last like 5 years. And so Steve's family, because they're really the only ones who live here that have expectations of us. My dad knows that he better not fucking try to make me do shit on Christmas Day. Fuck off. But Steve's parents are a little bit more like, oh, we would love to see you. But anymore, they're like, because we all work together. They're like, nah, it's cool. Take your day off. We're like, sweet. Thank you. Bye.
That's nice. So I mean, I know that your dad for a while in those Christmases, like, wasn't in recovery yet, but how did you kind of let him know, like, this isn't going to be a thing? Like, don't fucking invite me because I'm not going to show up.
Well, he would still invite me and he always has invited me, but I'm just like, no, like, Steve is so busy. We don't get a 3-day weekend for the holiday. Like,
yeah,
we only get Saturday and Sunday off. And if Christmas falls on a weekday, then we have to work the following Saturday. So, you know, it's just, it's that industry that we're in. We're in the garbage and recycling industry, and people are creating a lot of garbage on Christmas Day in that week. So,
oh, fuck yeah, they are.
Yeah. So it's just like one of those things. But, you know, so I've just really communicated that. And, you know, it's funny because I think about it and I think how passive aggressive I was communicating it for so long, where I was like, you know, well, we're tired and we don't get extra days off. And like, it was from a very much so like a victim mentality, mm-hmm. or like lack mentality. Mm-hmm. And like, I wish it would have been more like, oh, you know, that just doesn't work for our time schedule. I really appreciate the invitation, though. I love you guys, you know, but instead I had to, you know, be all fucking broken and shit.
Well, we're working on it. We're like slowly, slowly working on it.
Here we are.
So if people want to try and be either, you know, more responsible with their finances because they know that that's something that tends to get a little bit out of control in the holidays, or they're interested in maybe cutting back on alcohol and not drinking as much during the holidays as they did last year or whatever, what are some like tools and resources that they can check out, Katie, since we're still getting our shit together and working through this as well?
Yeah, don't take the advice of going to Target and spending way over your budget 3 days before. There's a lot, but just the other day, I have been focusing on where we're saving. We want to buy a house with some property. And so it is time that I start taking my finances seriously and we really start to figure out how to save our money. I decided to follow a couple of like what I would call expanders, right? People who are exceptionally good with their money and they understand the way that their emotions and their, what would you call it? Like familial cycle with money. And like, you know, they start to understand where that like inner child and money comes from and, you know, just get to know their relationship with money. And I found that there are a couple of accounts on Instagram. They're millennials and they're also women, and they both use like a holistic approach to finances, but also the mathematic and the practical approach. Like there's both. So it's action oriented, but also holistic. And I really like that. So the first one I found is on Instagram and the handle reads at Clever Girl Finance. So like very straightforward. I really enjoy the content that I've seen there. And then also at the Finance Bar. So at the Finance Bar, both great accounts to follow. I haven't been following for long. So, you know, follow at your own discretion. If it's something that you're into, you should, because I like it, but fuck do I know.
Yeah, I've definitely been adding more folks to my TikTok and trying to make my social media more intentional, where I feel like I'm using it to gain information about things that are important to me, at least a little bit more. And so I've been following a lot of women on career advice, finance advice. I'm trying to add mental health advocacy accounts. And so if you all know of any that would be good for us to kind of add to our resources, definitely feel free to shout out and let us know. One book that I am terrible at reading, so I cannot vouch for this 100%, but I did read her first book, You Are a Badass. So Jen Sincero, I am not sure if I'm pronouncing that last name right, but
let me see. I think that's how you pronounce it. Yeah.
Yeah, Sincero. She wrote a follow-up to her You Are a Badass book called You Are a Badass at Making Money. And it definitely goes into your thoughts and feelings about money and how that was portrayed when you were a kid. So if you were taught that money isn't something that, you know, belongs to you or something that's ever a possibility for you based on how your family talked about money and it always being scarce, then you might have a hard time, you know, keeping money. Or some people might feel a lot of guilt around money for different reasons. So it definitely kind of taps into that side of things. And I think that that's really interesting. So
yes, I love that.
Even though I haven't finished it, I recommend that you read it, pick it up.
Yeah, it's actually sitting on my bookshelf and I think that you bought it for me.
Also, life hack, a little unrelated, but you can use your library, whatever county library you have, and most of them have an app and you can get audiobooks there. So you can like rent audiobooks and then you can, you know, listen to it for free. Some of them have to be on hold for a really long time, but if you don't have an Audible subscription or that's not accessible to you, that's another way to get really good content without having to pay anything.
Love that. Yes, so cool. My last little bit here is just a reminder for Reframe because we talked about it a little bit this episode. But for anyone who is listening or knows someone who is struggling during the holidays, just remember that there is a free trial with Reframe. And like if you want to download it, you know, 5 days before Christmas or something and just use it for that free time, there's a 24-hour, 7 days a week forum where people like me are responding and commenting and sharing what they're going through. If you decide that Reframe is something you want to add into your daily practice to cut back or to quit booze, use my code so you get a discount so you're not paying full price. I feel like that's really important. So it's KATY is the code. So it's code Katie and you get 10% off, I think, your first in-app purchase. So definitely check it out if you're needing to like bulk up your kit at all this holiday season.
That's a really good point, Katie. If you're ever to take advantage of the free trial, now might be a great time to get that started a couple days before.
And be smart. Don't do what I do and lose track of the free trial and then try to dispute all of my purchases after I fully knew when my free trial was up. I did that with Credit Karma and they charged me like $255 for an annual subscription.
Oh shit, that freaks me out because I have Credit Karma but I didn't think I was paying for it, so I need to look into that.
Yes, please look into it. Some credit cards are like they use Credit Karma. My credit card does not. It uses CreditWise. So I already have, and that's the worst part, I already have free access to a credit tracker. So hilarious. But don't do that. Don't do that. Kaylee, what are the key takeaways from our episode today?
Yeah, I would say key takeaways are, you know, you may recognize, especially if you stop drinking recently, that you are spending more money than you want to, either because you're using that as a way to feel better for some triggers that you used to drown out with alcohol, or because you feel obligated to, because maybe you haven't set boundaries with your family members. So just really, I think the message all the time forever is, you know, try and go easy on yourself. But also, if you feel like your relationship with money is something that you want to work on as well, I feel like doing that in tandem with not drinking can really help.
Yeah.
Not only because going out and drinking and buying bottles of wine costs a lot of money, but because I feel like not drinking peeled back that first layer to allow me to really kind of look into more of this stuff and then check out resources on social media and definitely let us know what other tips and tricks you have, because I think another summary of this episode, a theme, is that Katie and I are trying something new. This is new to us that we're deciding to really put a focus on and try and get our shit together on top of sobriety. So
yeah, for sure. I love that. Definitely. And I think Kaylee is the queen of reminding everyone to be kind to themselves. And so we could critique all day and look for things that we're doing wrong, but a reminder that if you don't do it right today or like meet the standards you had set for yourself, you can start over tomorrow and no one fucking will know. Like no one, like you win if you do that, you know?
Exactly. If you fall off the horse, get back on.
Is that how that goes?
I don't know.
I mean, it's cute. I like it. I'm here for it. But
it was like off the wagon, on the wagon debate that we still haven't figured out. So I know. Who the fuck knows?
So that's our episode. We hope you liked it. Follow us on Instagram at dryhardpod, and we would love to chat with you. Let us know what's up. Let us know what's good.